I'm Christopher Lydon with a short open source field trip to someplace between Boston Noir and Boston, the medical mecca. On a cold, rainy day in February, we're walking from the Massachusetts General Hospital on a crooked path to South Station, meeting all sorts of people that you've probably never seen in any clinic you've been to. We're on Friday morning outdoor rounds with Dr. Jim O'Connell of MGH. His patients are mostly alcoholic men with many other mental and bodily afflictions, very sick people, he'll tell you, who often say they prefer the streets to shelter living. Jim O'Connell has been at this sort of work for 30 years. He made a habit early on of washing the feet of his patients as a gesture of his servanthood, also as a sort of diagnostic device. What paths have his patients been on? Our path began in a little park littered with vodka bottles right next to MGH.
This is a little park, which we call Mousie Park, after a homeless man named Mousie Mitchell, who died here back in 1985 or 86, I can't remember, but ever since then, to the homeless world, it's Mousie Park. It's always caught me off guard because it's literally on the grounds of Mousie. We're on the grounds of the hospital right now. This is the remnants from last night. These wheelchairs will have been our guys. You can see the bottles strewn all over there. And in the summertime, you'll find people will sleep, you know, on the other side of the berm. You'll see them sleeping there or right here on the benches. What we've learned is that the crude mortality rate of the people we care for on the street is the highest we know for any subgroup in America. And it took us a while to figure that out, but it's extraordinarily high. And, you know, so there's morbidity and mortality related to this. So what is success? So for us, if we can get people off the street, either into the shelter or, you know, if in the gold standard, get them into their own housing, we at least have a chance to start to take care of the major issues going on. Trying to care for people while they're still on the street is difficult when you look at long-term outcomes, and we've had to learn it's like keeping people alive and minimizing suffering today and then hoping that tomorrow we can, keeping hope alive so that tomorrow we can work on that again.
Dr. O'Connell knows this homeless population by name, by medical condition, by family history. He carries with him first aid supplies, also cab vouchers, and transit passes. Outside the branch library on Cambridge Street, he met two familiar faces sitting in a snowbank with a half-empty vodka jug around 9:30 in the morning. Here's Glenn.
What's going on, you guys?
Oh, how you doing? Oh, what are you doing? Great. Are we on the radio?
Oh, yeah, we're doing a little recording.
Oh, hi.
How you doing?
Good, how are you? We're just hanging out on the street, nothing to do. Just lost my beautiful apartment. I lived right on next to Fenway Park for the last 3 years, and a friend of mine had a court order stay away. He couldn't come near my house. And on Christmas night, I let him in, and somebody called the cops on me. And then they took me to court 2 days later and threw me out 48 hours later.
Glenn's friend Michael was sitting next to him, face scratched, nose bloodied. When Dr. Jim urged him to go to the McGinnis shelter, Michael began to cry. The sound is rough here because the sidewalk is getting a power washing. But what Michael is saying to Jim is, you're the only person who cares about me.
Hey, well, it's good to see you. I want you guys to get, it's raining. Go get somewhere warm. Get that.
Why do you care for me?
Hey, Michael, you want to...
And if I...
Hey, you want to go to McGinnis' house? If I can get a bed?
Yeah.
Huh? Would you go?
Yeah.
Would you go?
Right now.
All right, buddy.
I'll go.
You would? Michael, if I get a bed, you sure you'll go?
Oh, I'll go.
You will go.
I'll make sure.
Okay.
Instantly.
Are you kidding me?
What's your
life? Serious?
Tell your last name. Michael.
Oh, they will take him?
Yeah.
Michael, have you ever been to McGinnis' house? It's a vacation. Trust me. Michael, McGinnis' house is a vacation. Wait a minute, he's going to give me the cab voucher. I've been up in Tennessee for 25 years. I've been drinking for 25 years. And it hurts. And my viral load is like 750,000. I outlived every member of my family.
Did you really?
Yeah.
How old are you now?
60.
And
all my family, I wish they were here. I'm pissed at them because they're not here. I'm pissed off. My brother died of cancer at 24 years old. My other brother died of a heroin overdose. My mother and father died from drinking.
That's the story.
If I try to stop drinking by myself, I start going into seizures and I start the DTs, I start seeing things and stuff. Well, I've been drinking since October 16th. I got sectioned to Bridgewater September 25th by these people, and I told them when I came out, I'm gonna show you, and I said, I'm gonna drink myself to death. And I've been trying to. It's not happened yet, but I keep trying. I keep calling them saying, you put me in Bridgewater, I'm going to drink myself to death. Watch.
After a few phone calls, Dr. O'Connell found a bed for Glenn at a detox clinic in Rhode Island.
I got some nice people here. They're going to put me in a taxi to get me out there.
Okay.
They already accepted me.
Okay.
I'm going, and I'm going to get well. You know what? This one's going to work. This is the one. I already know what it is. Nobody else does. I know what it is. This is the one. 60 years old. Took me 60 years to figure out this disease is from the birds. No such thing as luck.
Okay. All right. Give me your best shot, man.
Oh, I will. Okay. I'll be okay.
All right.
This time. I've never said that before.
Okay. All right.
Stay warm.
One of the lessons, I think, of taking care of particularly people living on the street is that no one has a simple story to get here. It's a very complicated journey. And almost all of the stories are just hard. You know, they break your heart when you hear them. And then you start to realize that a lot of the people out here, when you listen to how honest and open he was, in many ways they're kind of courageous dealing with a hand that was dealt to them. And as you learn more about that, you wonder, boy, how do they even smile? You know, it's just, they've been through a lot. They've really been through a lot. When he said his, you know, mother and father both died of alcoholism, a brother of a drug overdose, another brother died of cancer at 24, you kind of just get the feeling of what was it like growing up for him. Must have been tough. And he now said at 60, he's the oldest person in his family. No one has lived any later than that. And that in itself tells me something. You know, so. It's a tough world out here. Where are you going with your bag? Where are you going with your bag?
Well, me, honest to God, I'm an Irish alcoholic. And what I'm doing here is I'm going to get service, I'm going to go detox, and hopefully things work out pretty well. I have to tell a psych doctor I'm totally crazy. Well, I'm Irish, so you know that anyways. All right? I have to get authorized to go to Bournemouth.
Hey, I'm Dr. O'Connell. Jim O'Connell, by the way. What's your name?
I'm Mikey Hotwings. Actually, the true name?
Yeah.
Mikey Hotwings Colombo Speed Bump Shine.
Hey, listen, we have to run, but you should get inside and let them get you to Bournemouth. It's a perfect thing to do.
Thing is, though, I'm going to sit there between 45 other people before I'm even seen.
Okay. So I'll call one of my colleagues and tell them that you're on your way. How about I do that?
So they'll be expecting you. This is very cool. This is very cool. And
I'm calling my colleague right now, so you should go check in the emergency room.
And they'll be waiting for you, Michael. This works out good, okay?
Honestly, I think you actually mean good.
Then we were on to City Hall Plaza, then the fringe of Boston Common, then to South Station, a refuge from the cold. Winters past, 80 people or more slept every night in South Station, which became a shelter in all but name. Today, it's a food court, more police than homeless in evidence. But Dr. O'Connell, walking around, found a few of his patients hidden in plain sight.
Chris, this is Willie.
How are you there?
This is Willie.
Willie, how do you do?
Chris, okay, Chris, and Mary is behind that.
Mary.
Yeah.
I'm Mary.
Okay.
Hi, nice to meet you.
Willie, did you used to stand in South Boston on the street? No?
Yes.
And you used to collect the cans?
Yes.
Didn't
you? Yes.
I know you from the
Yes.
You used to stay on West Broadway. I remember you. Oh, my God.
You know where everyone is?
Willie, I'm going to just lift your leg up a little bit here. So see all that maceration along there? That's an immersion foot, yeah, so that's trench foot. But then he's also got, this is all fungal, it's all a fungal infection all along here.
So look at it.
Yeah. Willie, do you want to, is this what you go into McGinnis' house for?
No, I'm not going to McGinnis' house.
You don't want to go?
No, not yet.
Not yet.
He's still over there in the hospital.
Because what's going on now is your foot, right? It's gotten all, you know, it's being pushed in by your boots, and it's all wet. We need to get, I can't believe I don't have any socks today.
See?
Because you need socks.
This is no good boot.
Yeah. So, Willie, do you want me to, you need some medicine for that.
For what?
For your foot. You need to put some cream all over it.
That's all.
Do you have the cream?
No. No, that is nothing. No, bring me nothing.
One, we need to get you the boots off, and you need to have them out to the air, your feet. So we can do that at McGinnis' house if you're willing to come in sometime. It takes about a week, though.
Yeah, I think so. I go to the last McGinnis' over there in McGinnis' house.
Can you
go?
Come over there. We'll look at it. On Monday, can I talk to you about that? On Monday, if I have a bed, maybe you want to come in.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
No problem then.
All right.
Hey, thank you, my friend.
Willie, thank you for letting us invade on you. You're a good man. It's
thank
good you
very
you.
Much.
Best. So
I've known
you.
This man a long time. I didn't recognize him for the longest moment. I have this great picture that I'll have to show you sometime. It was taken by one of our patients. His name is Keisha, a really wonderful woman who lived under the Longfellow Bridge for about 7 years. Mm. And she took a picture with a throwaway camera in 2000 of all her street friends sitting right here. Mm. And she gave me this picture, and it's like 12 really young, strapping-looking guys with one woman who's hiding because she didn't want to be the only woman in the picture. But it's all these people we knew really well. And what has struck us, I show this picture to the residents all the time because when you see this picture of these guys in there, they all had insurance because we knew them all. They all had, this is Massachusetts, they all had insurance. They're sitting on the grounds of a pretty good hospital, and there's only one of them alive today. You know, it's really, it sort of screams out at you how dangerous it is to be living on the street. When the picture was taken, I counted up one time, the average age of the people there was about 36.
Wow.
So, and you would not pick out any one of them to be not, you know, someone who shouldn't be like, engage in a full life. But then when you got to know their stories, you realize that they had been through unspeakable stuff in their life.
That was our snapshot last week of Dr. Jim O'Connell's Friday morning in the winter season. When you're looking for models of the doctor-patient relationship, it's a pleasure to watch an esteemed Boston doc giving every one of his needy patients the same claim on his time and skill, treating, touching, comforting people that the rest of us can often manage not to see at all. Kunal Jasti produced and edited this podcast. Mary McGrath showed him how. You can hear other conversations. You can see what else we're up to at radioopensource.org or on Twitter at radioopensource. Subscribe to our podcast through iTunes or Stitcher. We'll give you extra points for giving us a good rating. I'm Christopher Lydon. Join us again, and thank you for being part of the Open Source Podcast Project.